Well, surprise, surprise, there's not a special Easter text today. We're going to be in Hebrews, but God's providence, isn't he amazing? He has placed us exactly where we need to be in the book of Hebrews to wrap it up and remind ourselves that because Christ has been resurrected, these things are true. And that's where we built to in the book of Hebrews. Now, today is Easter. In fact, it's been rather amusing to me to drive around town this week, and every church has their, come celebrate with us for Easter. We don't do a whole lot of that because, as I said before, we celebrate every single week. That's what the first day of the week is about. Jesus Christ has come up out of the grave. And so in that respect, yes, we're having a normal worship service, but normal worship service is never normal. We get to celebrate Jesus. And more importantly, what he has done on our behalf. It's not my works. It's not your works. It's what Jesus' works did on my behalf that matter. And I hope you hear that gospel message each and every week. That's what we seek to preach. And in fact, as we look at our text today, yes, I've shortened the text. We're only going to look at Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. But God providentially used these verses to summarize where we have been and to remind us what Christ has accomplished. So hear the word of the Lord, Hebrews 10, starting in verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Now, as we hear these verses, notice where he starts in verse 19. It starts with therefore. And so that's marking for us a new section of thought by our pastor as he's bringing us to this point. And basically, he's giving you and I, as readers, a clue. Hey, everything I just said is really important. And as a result of this, there are some implications, and let's talk and let's think through some of those implications. Now, let me remind you really quickly and briefly. What have we been shown? Jesus is better. Jesus is our great high priest. He has done everything we need. His blood is way better than any goat or bull. Goat or bull, all they do is remind you of your guilt. Jesus' blood, it cleanses the conscience. These are the things that we've looked at for weeks as we've gone through. And so we have that theme. One of the things we look at, Jesus as the God-man. He comes and he did what for the new covenant? He fulfilled both sides. Because in the old covenant, what happened? God had his part and then the old covenant people sinned. They broke their part. But he promised a new and better covenant. And what the author is showing is when Christ came, he took care of what you and I couldn't do. Be obedient. He pleased his Father perfectly. And so Jesus is both sides of the covenant. And his work brings us salvation because he was our human representative. He did the obedience that... You ever tried to be good for a couple of days in a row? Didn't work for me. And everybody I've ever talked with that's honest, it doesn't work for them either. We don't obey well. Oh, we can do it for a few minutes at a time. But we don't live with the Father's glory in view. And then the cool part, this is the Easter part. What happened on that third day after Jesus was crucified to pay for our sins? He came right up out of that grave. That was, and we're going to see that more, that was proof that God the Father goes, yep, it worked. I mean, I hate to put it in that simple of terms, but that's the reality of the Easter message. When Christ comes up out of that grave, God is saying, it's done. And so what are the implications for us? Our author is saying that here in Hebrews. Since we now have confidence to do what? Enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Wow. Don't ever forget that amazing reality. You, because of what Jesus Christ has done, have the ability to confidently come before God. You had a really bad week? Maybe your anger was dealing with you. Maybe jealousy, greed, lust. You know, we got a whole shopping list. Everybody's got a different one. They're besetting sin. But because of Jesus, and when you have faith in Jesus, what he's saying is, look at that. You now have confidence to enter the holy place. Why? Because you were good? Wrong answer. No, by the blood of Jesus. God, I'm here because Jesus said I could be. Remember the thief on the cross? The man on the middle cross said I could come. That's our hope in the gospel. And our author has been making the case for chapters in this book of Hebrews about what? The old covenant priests, they would go into the holy place, and then they would go into the holy place. And then every year, year after year, they'd have to have blood carried with them to protect themselves because they weren't worthy. And then they'd have to wait. Did the priest come out? But our author has shown us in the book of Hebrews, and we've seen this, and he's reminding us, okay, all that's done. We now, because of what Christ has completed on our behalf, we can not walk into an earthly holy place. But what do you get? You get the privilege to go into the heavenly sanctuary with the presence of God. You can spiritually come before the Almighty God of the universe because of Christ's work. Show me some other religion that gives you that. They don't exist. Only Christianity, only the reality of what Christ has done on our behalf brings us that. And so when we look at Easter, when we look at the resurrection of Christ, we are reminding that that's the culmination, that's the proof that God accepted his blood, God accepted his work on our behalf. Peter put it this way in Acts 13. He says, but he, referring to Jesus Christ, whom God raised up, did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed unto you. And by him, Jesus, everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Isn't that a great summary of what we've been looking at in the book of Hebrews? And that was Peter, way back, right after Christ's resurrection. He's saying, okay, this Jesus, he did it all. And his resurrection was God's proof that it was accepted on your behalf. So rest in Jesus, not in your works, in trying to obey the law. And then our author in the book of Hebrews here in chapter 10, look at verse 20. How did Jesus accomplish that? By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. I keep reminding you that Christ fulfilled both sides of the covenant, God's side and man's side. He was God and man, and so as a man, he could stand in for us. And so we don't need the blood of goats and bulls anymore. We've seen again and again in the previous couple of weeks, the blood of the goats and bulls, all they did is remind you of how bad your sin was. They did not cleanse the conscience. And you had to keep repeating them to appease God one year at a time. And sort of like, okay, I made it through another year. His holy wrath didn't wipe me out. It was that attitude under the old covenant. But when the author here of Hebrews says, by a new and living way, he's referring to the work of Christ. And I would say he's talking from Christmas through Pentecost, if you will, in the work of Christ. Christ came as a babe. He came as a human, fully God, fully man. And he had to do that so he could complete his side of the covenant. And then Easter, when he comes up out of the grave, it was that proof that he has indeed taken away the sins of the world. And God the Father accepted it on our behalf. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice. Later in Acts 2:24, it says, God raised him, Jesus Christ, up, loosing the pangs of death because it was not possible for him to be held by it. You see, Jesus was a perfect sacrifice. He was perfectly obedient. He was innocent without sin. And so death could not hold him. And it was that proof. And so as the author of Hebrews has been saying, Jesus went through that heavenly holy place. He went through the curtain in the heavenlies, not the earthly version. But he went through the heavenly one. And he has made it for you and I also to now enter into the holy place. You can imagine after the temple curtain was torn. Tradition tells us that the priest sewed the thing back together. What a scam, huh? Oh, everything's business as normal. No. Christ had come. He said, this is all replaced. But the curtain is now open. You can now come into the heavenly holy place because of the blood of Christ. Wrap your mind around that reality that you, a sinful human being, could come before the perfectly holy God of the universe because of Christ. And so that's why he moves in verse 21 and he says, we have a great priest over the house of God. Like, this is what Jesus did for you. And then he talks about all this lettuce. You got three lettuces here. And yeah, it sounds like you're going to have a salad. But it helps to think about lettuce, lettuce, lettuce. And let's look at the implication. What does it matter for you on a day-to-day basis? Let's look at that. Since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Second, let us. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And then the last lettuce, let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see that day drawing near. He's saying, because of what Jesus has done, you as a believer, if you are looking to Christ as your Savior, did you pay attention to the words of many of the songs we sung today? It's about what Christ did for me. And I'm going to walk in his righteousness and his works, not my own. That's the heart of the gospel. What he has done. And so, because Christ has done all of these things, we as believers are able to confidently do certain things. Notice, draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You can draw near to God. You can hold fast to your confession, and that gives you what? Hope. And we're also then, put it into practice, we're to stir one another up to love and good works. So you have faith, hope, and love. These are the things that are possible, all because of not you're so good. Maybe you're getting there, but you're not good enough. All because Christ has done this. He now empowers you. Now, it's funny, as a pastor and counselor, I cannot tell you how many people I deal with, believers included, who struggle with their assurance of faith. I bet you do. Some days you go, why would God love me for what I just thought? You ever do that? You're not weird or abnormal. No temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. You're just a human sinner. The reality is, I've learned every time someone is struggling with their assurance of faith, their assurance of salvation, their eyes are not on Jesus, not on his work, they're on their own life. Oh, I failed this way this week. Maybe I'm not a believer. Oh, I just look at my life and I wonder, how could God love me? Step forward. Let me slap you a few times. In the Bible, you are not called to make your primary focus your life. The gospel message is you're to look at what Jesus did. And as you look at what Jesus did, you remember your identity in him and walk accordingly. Look to Christ. Don't look at yourself. You see, all through the New Testament scriptures, we are exhorted again and again to know that we are saved by looking at Christ's completed work on our behalf. Yeah, I know it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. What's it saying? He did it all, so believe on it. And I really like the term rest in it. Will you accept that as completed on your behalf? Or do you go, well, that kind of got me in the door. Now I've got to keep it up. That's Roman Catholicism. I'm sorry. It's, you know, Jesus kind of got me to the court. Now I've got to get into the paint to make the shot. So this is the difficulty of when we stop looking at Christ and we look at our own life. You see, God grants us assurance of salvation not on the basis of man's faith, your faith, but on the basis of Christ's faithfulness. Was he faithful? We just sang how many hymns about what he has completed and what he has done on our behalf. That's the reality. Think of how John, the apostle, walked with Christ for 3 years. He writes in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. It's like, you believe on Jesus. I want you to know that you have eternal life if you believe on him. And that follows verses 11 and 12 of chapter 5. In 11 and 12, he says, this is a testimony that God gave us eternal life. Not that we earned it. No, God gave us eternal life, and this life is where? In the Son. And then he really makes it clear for less than smart people. Verse 12, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. So brother, sister, look to what Jesus has done for you so you can know that you have eternal life. Believe in his work on your behalf. Paul writes it in Romans 10:9, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess, agree with God. He's the one that is my salvation. He did it. He did everything I need. And you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's almost like Paul's going, agree with God that Jesus is the solution. Remember when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac and Isaac goes, yeah, Dad, but where's the sacrifice? Remember Abraham's words? God will provide. That's what you and I do as believers. I could never do enough to please you, God. But you told me you will always provide, and you provided in Jesus. It's that simple, the gospel message. That's the heart of the gospel. That's why all of these weeks that we've spent in the book of Hebrews has been so important. It's to help you understand that it's all about Jesus' work on your behalf. Your great high priest has done everything you need. Quit trying to earn it. Because Jesus was sent by the Father to redeem the elect. Remember what Jesus himself said when he was here on this planet? John chapter 6, verse 37. He said these words, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes unto me, I will never cast out. For I've come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me. For I will raise them up on the last day. Wow. What an amazing thing. Jesus came to redeem us. Jesus came to redeem believers. So let's look a little bit about these lettuces. Okay? We've been working through the first one. Our first one is, let us have faith. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Look to Jesus in faith. Realize His blood cleanses us. We are washed clean because of His work. Baptism in the new covenant, what's it represent? Christ's work has cleansed me. Unclean. My conscience is clean because of what Christ has done. So believe it and rest in faith in Christ's work. Now the second lettuce is hope. And quite frankly, it's almost a restatement of the first point. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. It's almost as if the author's going, I get it that you're not the brightest bulb in the box and you need to step forward. And let me slap you a little bit to remind you of this fact. Look what he's saying there. When you start wavering in your faith, lettuce one, lettuce two is have hope in your confession of what Christ has done. Look to what Jesus did, not how poorly your working out of that confession is. You know one of my favorite verses in Scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Him, Jesus Christ, who had no sin, to become my sin. But it doesn't stop there, does it? So that we, you, me, might become the righteousness of God. He then gives me His perfect record. And so when I stand before God, it's not, well, I think I'm good enough. Now, I'm here because of Jesus, and His record is mine. And you will hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. So what he's saying here is you want hope? You want confidence in your hope? You want confidence in the faith you have? Keep coming back to Jesus. And remind yourself again and again, it's what Jesus did, not what I do or don't do. And my proof for that is Jesus came up out of the grave. That was the proof positive that it was accepted on my behalf, that my conscience is cleansed by His blood. That is true hope. You can have confidence and assurance in your salvation when you look to Christ and Christ alone. And then he gives us our last lettuce there in verse 24. Let us consider how to stir one another up to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And even all the more as you see the day drawing near. He's really saying, you want assurance of faith there? Don't forsake the church. The church, also known in the New Testament as the body of Christ, right? He saves you not to be this John Wayne independent,
oh, yeah, I know Jesus, me and Jesus, we got it.
No, he saves you into the body of believers. Look at the people around you. Yeah, they're not that ugly. They are sinners saved by grace like you are. And you know what? They need to hear you reminding them how powerful Christ's blood is. And you need to hear them reminding you of that very same thing. That's exactly what he's saying. Stop avoiding the meeting together. You need to be together regularly. And what happens? Hey, Bob. Because of what Jesus did, you can love this person. Yeah, but you don't know what... Yeah, you can do it. Yeah, you're right, I can. You see how it works? We stir one another up. We encourage one another. Now, here's the implication of this last lettuce. You cannot have a full assurance of your salvation apart from the church. Okay? Notice I said full assurance. It is possible to be a believer and not be involved in a church on a regular basis. But it's a rough road to hoe. That's the implication that he's saying there. When we look at the New Testament, what do we find? God saves us into His body. Look at all the one another's of Scripture. It's not a solo existence. And what our author is saying is, God is saving us into the body of believers, and so quit trying to forsake the assembly. Get together regularly. Come and worship. Come encourage one another. Stir one another up to love and good works, and you'll be amazed what it does for your assurance of salvation. Because we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. I need to preach the gospel to you, and you need to preach it to me. That should be a regular part. We should be a little different than a social club because we talk about Jesus a lot. That's how it works. That's how we build our assurance. That's what the author is saying. You are now a redeemed sinner because of Christ's work, because of His work on your behalf. And so when somebody in the body goes, well, I'm not perfect. I had a really rough week. Yeah, that's true. But you remember what Christ did. Now go live in your identity. Confess your sin and just act like you were saved. Because that's what Christ did for you. That's what you and I need to grasp the gospel every day. I once heard this referred to as the Calvary Quadrilateral. Say that three times. 4 points, okay? That's a fancy way to put it. Christ, by His work of redemption, has 1, dealt with our sin. Praise God. 2, He has satisfied God's wrath forever. Amen. 3, He has defeated Satan's power. And 4, He establishes believers as sanctified people. When God looks at you, He does not look at your sin anymore if you are resting in Christ. What's He see? A sanctified, righteous believer. Repeat that to yourself, okay? Because some of you have got problems with that. You forget that on a regular basis. And so we need to remember these things. Christ dealt with my sin. He has satisfied the wrath of God forever. He has defeated Satan's power. And 4, He has declared me to be sanctified and pure and spotless because of Christ's blood. I think this is what Paul wrote. Remember in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, we have received every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. 1:3. Remember that passage? That's what he means. It's like that movie, Secondhand Lions, at the end of the movie. They're like, the kid gets it all. Because of Jesus, you got it all. Everything is yours. What's Satan want to do? Remember, he's already defeated, but he comes in and you're not good enough. You didn't read your Bible every day this week. You know, you skipped 2 days. Or, I can't believe how you just answered that person. You must not be a believer. Isn't that what Satan wants to do? He's a deceiver. And so what we need to remember is because Christ is my high priest and His blood has been shed for me, that should profoundly change how I live my moment-by-moment life. I think Bert and Barry just came back from a cruise, right? Yeah. And I was once told a story. Guy went on a cruise. And about the 3rd day, he's out on the deck and he's eating saltines and drinking Diet Coke that he had brought with him. And one of the other guests goes, dude, I haven't seen you in the dining room. Aren't these meals amazing? The guy's like, well, I only paid for the cruise. And the guy's like, what do you mean you only paid for the cruise? Everything's all inclusive. Hello? And the guy's sitting there munching down on the saltines because that's what he brought with him. He was not taking advantage of all the entertainment and the feasting. And I don't know, I've never done a cruise, so you'll have to teach me. But he was missing it all. That's how too many of believers look at Jesus Christ. Christ's work on the cross. When He came up out of that grave, He guaranteed that it's an all-inclusive gospel cruise. You get it all. You get every privilege because of Christ. It's not the idea that, well, He just gained me entry to the ship. No, He gained you entry to every part of the ship, every banquet, every buffet, every blessing in Christ, Ephesians 1:3. Peter, remember the Apostle Peter, foot and mouth dude? He writes this in his second letter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power is granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence, by which He has granted to us His precious and very great promises, so that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world because of sinful desires. Implication, verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and they are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on and he says, okay, some of you need a slap. For whoever lacks these qualities, they're nearsighted. They're blind. They've forgotten that they have been cleansed from their former sins. Insert by the blood of Jesus here. And what's Peter say? Therefore, my brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you're never going to fail. That's not works-based, it's what? Rest in Christ, and now act like you were redeemed by Christ. That's the difference. Christ has done everything we need at the cross, in His burial, in His resurrection. It's a complete deal. He bought you the full gospel cruise. It's all yours. And too many of us view it like, well, I got onto the ship and now I'd love to have dinner with the captain, but I'm not. That's not permitted. I need to read my Bible a lot more before I could have dinner with the captain. Wrong answer. Because of the blood of Christ, what? You're invited to the captain's table. You get to, how did he put it? Enter the holy place. You can have fellowship with God Almighty. You don't have to keep earning this. Quit being like that stupid guy who went on the cruise and thought he didn't get meals. Enjoy the salvation that Christ has purchased for you. In Christ, all the treasures of God are yours. The gospel is a complete gift. And see, we just keep, oh, I've got to, you know, I need to give more money and maybe God will bless me more. No, Christ. It's complete. You can't do more to please God. Now, those are things that He may call you to do. That's good. But it's all about what Christ has done. It's all the treasure in Christ. And we now get to walk in His blessings. We get to, as the author says, encourage one another to love and good works. Spur one another on. It's like, ah, all right, Dan, because of what Jesus did, let's go out and we can minister, huh? Yeah, let's do it. Come on, let's go. That's what we're supposed to be doing as a body of Christ. What was it? I think Will said it really well Saturday morning. We're a bunch like a vinegar-baptized believers. I love that. That was a good call, Will. We all walk around sour-faced. Seriously? Don't forget it. Jesus has done everything in the relationship with God concerning our sin. It was completed and finished at the cross. You do not need to be held in the grip of sin. Oh yeah, old habits are going to still be there, but when they pop up, what do? John says that if you confess your sin, agree with God, He's faithful and just to forgive it and cleanse you. Because of Christ's blood, it's done. He's done everything in your relationship to Satan. Satan is defeated. Oh, he's still running around acting like he's got some power, but he has none if you are in Christ. So when those thoughts come in, you go, get out of here. You got no place in my life. I'm going to go back to the Word of God and I'm going to look and see what it says. Because Jesus did it all for me. And as you go through life, think of it as an awesome gospel cruise. And My Jesus has done everything. I can go anywhere I want. I get every privilege. No, I don't have to go read my Bible for 150 days to get a seat with the captain on the ship. Or I don't have to go swab the decks in order to go see the show tonight. I can rejoice because Christ has purchased everything I need. He has, last point, sanctified me forever. He's perfected me. I am accepted in the beloved, Ephesians 1:6. That's what he says there in verse 22. With our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. See yourself that way. Enjoy that wonderful discovery of being who Jesus redeemed you to be. Why? We'll cover them again. Sin, been dealt with by Jesus, your older brother. God, the wrathful, holy God, is fully satisfied by Christ's work as you rest in Him. Third, Satan has been defeated. He has absolutely no power over us. And fourth, God has given you the body of believers, His church, in order to help you live out and walk in these truths. And so my challenge to you today is live in this completed work of Christ. He has been the perfect high priest. He was planned from the foundation of the world to redeem us. Now, some of you come from a tradition where in your church, maybe they engage some kind of sacrificial mechanism at the end. They have an altar call. Or you could come up that if you're dealing with a sin, you can come and confess it and you can once again repent of it. I have a problem with that. Because you know what it fails to look at? Christ did it all. And you may need to confess sins. But here's what I want you to do as a believer. If you truly believe in Jesus Christ, realize, I believe in a Christ who has finished the work. That's why He came out of the grave. I'm accepted in the Beloved. And so, it's not how bad I come up and confess my sins that makes me acceptable to God. It's what Christ did for me at the cross. It's what His atoning work did on my behalf. And so please, always rest your faith, your hope, in the completed work of Christ. Rest in that as your acceptance before God. Rest in faith, hope, and love. Amen.